We are in Revelation chapter 13 this week. The book of Revelation is, amen, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And John told us in 1:3, he said, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. So the book is to be a blessing to us, an encouragement, a hope to us. We have looked at the things which John had seen, the vision of the risen Lord. We saw the things which are, the things that John wrote of, which are. That was the seven churches that existed at John's time. And now we're looking at the things which will occur after this, after the church age, after the church is raptured up to heaven. We saw that John was taken up to heaven. He was given a vision of the throne of God. He saw the throne. He saw one who sat in the midst of the throne, and in his hand was a scroll that had seven seals. And there was no one that was worthy to take the scroll. Then he saw the lion from the tribe of Judah as a lamb slain. And he takes the scroll from the Father's hand, and he starts to open the seven seals. And as he opens the seven seals, it is God's judgment that is being poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. It's God's wrath. And he gets to the seventh seal, and then there's seven trumpets. And we saw that as the trumpets blew, that there was more and more judgment. And the seventh trumpet blew, and it took us to the midpoint of that seven-year time that we call the tribulation period. And at the midpoint, the Antichrist reveals his true nature. He's seen. Last week, we looked at some key players in the tribulation period. We saw a woman clothed with sun, with the moon under her feet, and her head a garland of 12 stars, nation Israel. Oh, we saw a great fiery red dragon, Satan. And we saw a child that was to be born, that would rule the nations with a rod of iron, Jesus. Now we see two more players in this end times drama. It's a drama. It is very dramatic. And we're given more information about players in the end times here in Revelation 13. These two that we're going to look at, they're called beast because they are beastly. They're ungodly. The first beast, the Antichrist, is part of this. He's the leader of this world system, as we'll see. And then the second beast is called the false prophet throughout the book of Revelation. He is a prophet, a religious figure, but he is a false prophet. Therefore, he's a beast. He's ungodly. Y'all tracking? This gets very subjective. Very subjective. Because we're looking at things that are distant. We're looking at things in the future. We don't exactly know how it's all going to shake out. And so a lot of people have a lot of different opinions. They're opinions. We cannot be absolutely, positively, 100% dogmatically sure about these things. Nor should we get all weirded out. This is who it is. This, I don't. There's room for conjecture here. There's room for opinion here. Okay? You all right? Let's go. Verse 1, then I stood on the sand of the sea. Some of your translations here will say, then he stood on the sand of the sea. The problem is one little letter that changes this word from I to he. It won't change the outcome here, okay? Whether it's John standing on the sea or the dragon standing on the sea. It could be either, okay? And I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and on his horns, ten crowns, and on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Hey, last week we saw a fiery red dragon having seven heads and ten horns. Now we see a beast having seven heads and ten horns. Some similarities there. And we shouldn't be surprised in the similarity, because it is the dragon who gives this beast his power. His power is satanic. It comes from Satan. He rises up out of the sea. It could be that he's from the area of the Mediterranean. That's some conjecture. Others say, well, he's just rising up out of the sea of humanity. Hey, there is a leader that comes. Many people think that this leader, this world political leader that rises up, is the head of what we would call the new Roman Empire. The old Roman Empire revived, renewed. Some people look at it as the European Union. Now, in the book of Daniel gives us a lot of prophecy about end times. I've been telling you that since we started Revelation. It would really behoove you to read the book of Daniel, because there is so much in there that speaks of end times. It's very interesting. When Daniel wrote that book, he was told to seal it up. Seal up the words of this prophecy. Why was he told to seal it up? Well, we're told because it's for the end. The words in there is for the end times, and it's very interesting. Daniel wrote about some things, about some world leaders that we can look back today and we can point to and we can say, hey, that was this, that was that, that was this. And that was that. It's very interesting that as we look at the book of Daniel, as history has gone on, we can say, hey, we understand these prophecies. How can that be? Because we're towards the end. As we get closer to the end, those prophecies will become more and more clear. Does that make some sense to you? This is what I'm talking about. In the book of Daniel, these images of a leopard, of a bear, and of a lion are given to us. They're found in Daniel chapter 7, and it's very clear what these are. These were world empires, beginning with the Babylonian Empire. The Babylonian Empire was pictured as a lion. And then there was another empire that came after that. That's the Persian, the Medo-Persian Empire. And then the one that looks like the leopard in Daniel chapter 7, that was the Greek Empire. And it's Alexander the Great, and he was very rapid in his assault. He was very fast upon the land, and that leopard symbolizes that. And so because this fourth beast has these characteristics, and Daniel speaks of a fourth beast, by the way, people have come to consider this as a revival of the Roman Empire. In Daniel chapter 2, we were given some more information about this last world empire. It will have feet of clay, toes of clay, mixed with iron. A 10-nation confederation. 10 heads, we're told. In Daniel chapter 7, we're told that one of the horns, one of the leaders, will rip out three of the other leaders. It's very interesting. So we have a 10-nation confederation with 10 leaders. Three of them are ripped out, and so you only have 7. Make sense? You have 7 heads here in this guy. Now they think it's the revival of the Roman Empire because of Revelation 17:8. This is one of the things. Revelation 17:8 says that here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman rides. The woman rides the beast in chapter 17. People believe that the 7 mountains speak of Rome, okay? And so a revival of the Roman Empire. It may or may not be correct. That's conjecture, okay? It could be 7, it could be 10 areas within the world, such as NAFTA, the European Union, that these areas each have leaders. And there's some that think that because there is a New World Order that people talk about, where they talk about regions. Our region happens to be Mexico, the United States, and Canada in the overall big scheme of the world. So it could be that. We don't know. It's conjecture. You don't want to be here to see. Okay? Now, in verse 3, it says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, 'Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?'" So there is one person, one of the heads, that is predominant over this world empire. He's predominant. He has taken the lead. It appears that there is an assassination attempt upon this person. And this person is mortally wounded. People will look at this and they'll say, no, it's a nation, it's a world power. But it really doesn't fit. It really fits as you go through it that John is speaking of a single individual, a person here. It's a fatal blow. Shot. Blown up or something. We don't know for sure. There's a prophecy in Zechariah 11, 16 and 17. It says, God says, "I will raise up a shepherd in the land who will not care for those who are cut off, nor seek the young, nor heal those that are broken, nor feed those that stand still. But he will eat the flesh of the fat and tear their hooves in pieces. He'll destroy the flock. Woe to the worthless shepherd." That's what God says. "A sword shall be against his arm and against his right eye. His arm shall completely wither, and his right eye shall totally be blinded." We think this speaks of this person here, this Antichrist, this one other than Christ, against Christ. And he is, there's an assassination attempt. and his arm, it no longer functions. It's paralyzed. And his eye is blinded. It may be this guy. But when he comes on the scene, he is able, in this 10-nation confederation, he is able to wrest power, to steal the power from three of the nations. To get their strength. He's got their strength now. He's got their power. He dominates over all the rest. There's an assassination attempt upon him. And he comes out. He's alive. They think he's dead. He looks like he's mortally wounded. It appears there's a possibility that it appears as if he is revived, resuscitated, resurrected. It's Satan trying to mimic the work of God. You'll see. And the world, this guy is able to kill the two witnesses. Remember the two witnesses? No one's able to come against them and fire comes out of their mouth. This guy's able to kill them. And the whole world looks at this guy in astonishment and they say, whoa, who is like the beast? Who's able to wage war against this guy? No one. Look at how powerful he is. Well, there is an answer to the question, who is able to make war with him? And we'll get to that as we go through Revelation. He ain't nothing. And in fact, we'll see he's nothing today. And he was giving a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, verse 5. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heavens. One of the things that we find about this guy is he has just got a mouth. Blah, 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 blah. You read in Daniel 7:8, and he's called the little horn. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. That's where he destroys three of the leaders. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. He is just blaspheming God. He has nothing good to say about God. He has nothing good to say about Jesus. He has nothing good to say about those in heaven. It's very interesting to me. And it brings about some speculation for me. I mean, a lot of this is speculation and conjecture. But you know, when the rapture of the church occurs, people are going to be talking about those people and where they went. Don't you think? All over the world, they're going to be talking about those people and what happened to them. There is a new age teaching that we are entering into the new age, a period of harmony and a period of peace. But to enter in to this new age, into this new world, so to speak, the earth has got to be shaken up. Because there's problems here. There's a lot of division. There's war. There's unrest. And a lot of the division and unrest in the world is caused by religious people. Religious hatred. religious bigotry. Those people who say that there is only one way to God. There is only one way to heaven. And in this coming new age, those people, God will remove those people from the world. Isn't that interesting? It's a spin on what's going to happen. Who are those religious, bigoted people who say there's only one way to heaven? It's Christians! Look, you cannot be a Christian and think that Hinduism, Islam, Buddhism, or any other ism is a way to heaven. It doesn't work. It is not Christianity. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Period. I didn't make it up. Jesus is the bigot. He's the religious fanatic. I cannot believe in Christianity and divorce myself from the words of Jesus and make his words say something that they don't say. I cannot do that. And so I'm one of those religious bigots because I believe what he said. It's fascinating to me that in this new age teaching, there is already an excuse in place for when we disappear. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul writes this in verses 10 and 11, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, and for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. There's a lie that everyone, that the world is going to be told why these people are gone. I think it's that lie right there. I'm not sure. But that's my conjecture, okay? You can have yours, what you think the lie is. It's okay. I'll love you. Yeah, you shouldn't. Don't hate me because I'm right, though. I don't know. I'll even say I could be wrong. We see here that this beast is given authority for 42 months. 42 months. 3.5 years. Yes. A time. Times and half a time. 1,260 days. We've seen this, and we will see it over and over, that 3.5 year period from the midpoint of the tribulation to the end. 3.5 years. He is given authority. And during this time, he blasphemes. Blah, 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 blah. About God. And makes himself to be God, so that people will worship him. So the world rejects the truth and accepts his lies, his blasphemies. And in verse 7, it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Look, there have always been people who wanted to dominate the world. Nebuchadnezzar, right? Caesar, Alexander the Great, which Caesar? I don't know, all of them, I guess. Alexander the Great wanted to dominate the world. Hitler, there's always people who have tried to rule the world. This guy succeeds. Every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth, he'll not only rule them, they will worship him. whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, he is going to make war with the saints. Because of this, there are brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, it means that they're brothers and sisters. That means that they're saved, just like you, who have a difference of opinion. They believe that because of the statement that the saints, the church, will still be here. I do not believe that a bit. But look, there's good brothers and sisters who do. It doesn't make me more of a saint because I believe that the church is gone. Okay? This is not one of those things that we should battle. Beat people up. I will shun them. They're a mid-tribber. I will shun them. I will not talk to them. I have no communication with them. We don't do that. I believe that the saints that he makes war against are those tribulation saints. Remember, the gospel is going to be preached by angels going through heaven. People are going to hear, "Do not worship the beast nor take his mark upon you." And the gospel will be preached. Remember those two witnesses with fire? What are they doing? They're preaching the gospel. They're saying, no, not this temple. The body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hey, Jesus died for us. That's what they're going to be preaching, to give us a temple, one in which the Holy Spirit dwells. That's what they're going to be preaching. Then there's 144 Jews that are out preaching that Jesus is the Messiah. Then, besides that, your neighbors are going to go into your house. And they're going to take your Bible. And they're going to read it. Because you talked to them. And they're going to remember the things that you told them. Hey, your family members who think you're whacked because you're talking about being beamed up, beam me up, Scotty. Woo! It's not going to seem so crazy to them in the midst of the tribulation. I print these things out. And they're in my office. And they're in a binder that say, Revelation. And I hope somebody gets it and reads it and goes, oh, you're talking to me today. And that they get saved. There will be millions of people who come to the Lord. And he will make war with them and he will overcome them. All those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. That book of life was written from the foundation of the earth. Before the creation of this earth, God wrote down Jesus, his book of life. He wrote my name in it. My name is written in the Lamb's book of life. This blows me away because there's so many times that I heard the gospel and I rejected. I could have missed out on the rapture of the church and gone into the tribulation. But my name would have still been written in his book. And in the tribulation, I would have come. See, I didn't know I was coming to him. But he knew. He knew all along. All those times that I blasphemed, that I said, no, they're crazy, and they're talking about beam me up, Scotty, and woo! And I'd make fun of the saints and persecute them. Make fun of the Word of God. But he knew that there was a day that I'd understand. He knew that there was a day that I would have a revelation of Jesus Christ. He knew that one day I would say, Jesus is the Son of God who died for my sins. He knew that there would be a day that I would see my sins like he sees them, and that I would cry, I would weep, I'd be broken. He knew that in that day that I'd come to him and I'd ask him for forgiveness of my sins. When that day came, I was surprised that he didn't kill me. I've got to tell you, I was so surprised. I thought, oh, look at all that I've done. And now you're real. I had a revelation of Jesus. And I knew he was real, and I knew he died for me. And I thought, no, now he's going to kill me. And I was surprised that he didn't. I was surprised that he came, and not to kill me, but to give me life. I was surprised. But he wasn't surprised. He knew from the foundation of the world, he knew that I would come to him. And he wrote my name in his book. And he knew the date and the hour and the circumstances. He knew the whole thing. And he knew that I'd be standing here today telling you. That he knows. He knows. And when we come to him and we ask him for forgiveness, when we come to him and say, Jesus, come into my life, it isn't a shocking revelation to him. He can take out his book. He said, look at this. I had your name here all along. I knew all along that you would come to me. And how does he know? Because he is God in flesh. He is omniscient. He knows all. And that's the only way he's able to write down those who he knows will come to him ahead of time. He knows the end from the beginning. He already knows. And we're just proving our own character, whether we will come to him or not come to him. And all those who worship the beast, their names aren't written in the book of life. Now the saints, their names are written in the book of lives, of life. Right now, we have an opportunity to give our lives to Jesus. In the 7-year coming tribulation period, we'll give up our lives for Jesus if you haven't come to him before. Now's the time. It's easy. This period of grace, this dispensation of grace, it's easy. And John writes, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. Hear. He says, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. The saints will be led into captivity. They will be killed. The tribulation saints will be killed. And they know it. But they will not take the mark of the beast. That's the faith and patience of the saints. And they know that that guy who is doing all of this to them, oh, what he's doing to them is going to happen to him. But they will not deny Christ to save their own lives. Now we come to the second beast, this guy who's called the false prophet. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. He comes up out of the earth. He has two horns. He looks like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. Hey, by now, we're all, except the little ones, we're all old enough to know that things aren't always as they appear, right? Y'all know that by now? I have that $1,300 hard hat to remind me. Well, we've lived life lessons that have been very costly to us, haven't we? And we've learned some hard lessons. And we've learned that things aren't always as they appear. This guy comes looking like a lamb. Gentle, meek, and mild. But he speaks like a dragon. Listen, the dragon, Satan, right? When he shows up, he don't come looking like the red devil. You know what I mean? He doesn't show up wearing red leotards with the pointy tail and the horns and the pitchfork, the beard. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't come looking like that. We're told that he comes looking like an angel of light. Look, he wants you to think that he comes looking like, you know, the horns and all. That would be easy, wouldn't it? He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He comes and he will come with truth. With truth. And in the midst of the truth is a lie. Just like he came to Jesus, quoting Scripture. Ooh. He knows Scripture better than you do, by the way. He speaks subtly, with deception, with lying, persuasive words. Words that are appealing to our flesh. Oh yeah, that sounds right. God is love. He loves everyone, the whole world. God would never do anything to hurt anyone, to destroy anyone, except those lying bigots that distorted his plan and purpose. He's a liar, a thief, and a destroyer. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Look at this guy. He's a man of God, a man of peace. He points people to worship the beast. It's interesting. This guy. The Holy Spirit comes to point us to Jesus. Holy Spirit's in the world to point us to Jesus. This ungodly spirit comes into the world to point people to worship the Antichrist. And he does so with these miraculous signs. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He does these signs and wonders. He's able to call fire down from heaven. Satan is always trying to counterfeit, mimic the works of God. Always. Remember Moses? Moses shows up, his staff, he throws it down, and it turns into a snake. And what did Pharaoh's magicians do? Same thing. He made the water into blood. They did. You remember this? Now, they were only able to do it up to a point, right? His snake ate their snake. Pretty soon they had boils all over them, and they were screaming, "Help, help." Satan's always trying to counterfeit. We had two witnesses who had fire come out of their mouth. This guy calls fire down from heaven. Remember, Elijah called down fire from heaven? A counterfeit. See, Satan can counterfeit signs and wonders, which is really interesting to me. Jesus said, don't be fooled. He said in Matthew 24 and verse 24 that false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. And people will believe him. It's very interesting to me. Because, see, in the church, people are as interested in signs and wonders as outside of the church. And there's a great movement in the church with signs and wonders. There are people that I talk to, not infrequently, not every day, but I will meet people, they'll come to the church, and they'll tell me, well, really, I'm looking for a church that has signs and wonders. Be careful. Be careful. I'm not saying that God doesn't do signs and wonders. I'm not saying that at all. But is that really our focus, the signs and the wonders, or is our focus Jesus? What is drawing you? Is it the signs and the wonders, or is it Jesus? I can give you Jesus. I can't give you signs and wonders. It's up to him. This guy comes with signs and wonders. And people are just in awe. And he makes an image of the Antichrist. And it will be in the temple. The abomination that makes desolate. The guy goes in, proclaims himself to be God. People worship him. And this guy makes an image of him. And he is able to give it spirit or life. How does he do that? I don't know. They used to use this image, okay? Who's been to Disneyland? Hall of the Presidents. Have you been there? Have you seen it? Mr. Lincoln. He stands up and he talks. It's kind of lame now. 100 years ago when I saw it, it was pretty cool. Okay? Whoa. But now it's pretty lame. Now they have These holographic, 3D holographic images, have you seen them? That talk? Maybe it's that. Do you know that they're trying to develop living computers, protein-based computers? Y'all are aware of this, right? You're not? Yeah. A living computer. Oh, they could make it look like me. Y'all know that they're making clones? Y'all are aware of this, right? How about if he clones him? Does a clone have a spirit within them? I don't know, man. I just know I don't want to be here. Thank you, Jesus. This is going to be strange. Somehow or another, there's an image, a hologram, a living computer, a clone, something, and it's going to talk, and it's going to look real life. And people are going to worship this. And if you don't, off with your head. He causes all, both great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hand and on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It used to be generally believed that this mark that was given was a tattoo. A tattoo. Don't get tattoos, it's the mark of the beast. I don't know. I'm not going to get one just in case, okay, just for that reason. It's not that I don't want somebody poking me with a needle and putting dye into my skin. Just doesn't seem right to me somehow. It's okay if you have them, though, Micah, okay? Ed, that was before. No, it's okay, it's okay. You can have tattoos. It's not the mark of the beast, okay? It's just not my thing. Now today, it's the chip. The chip. Applied Digital Solutions has a chip. It's called the VeriChip. It wasn't first marketed as the VeriChip. It was something angel, where you could have your children chipped and you could track them and know where they were. People have had their children chipped with VeriChip. See, it's used for a variety of purposes now. It's a VeriChip. People are chipping their parents with Alzheimer's. This is a good thing. Look, I used to teach in a nursing home, and I'd pick up one of the ladies and get her in the car and get her back to the nursing home regularly. I'd see her. There she is. Hi, how are you? I'm going to my house. Great, could I take you? Oh, yeah, would you? Yeah, get in. This happens in real life? It happens all the time. This is not a bad thing to be able to track. Okay? In Mexico... In the government of Mexico, politicians are regularly chipped. Why? To keep track of them. You know, our Navy SEALs are chipped. Do you know that? They are chipped. They have, because where they go, they don't take any ID. Navy SEALs are chipped with biometric data so that they can scan them. They can find out who they are. They pull up their medical records. Boom, 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 boom. This technology that we have, oh, they could change this technology and make it into the sign of the beast very easily. But the VeriChip is not the sign of the beast. Okay, it's how you're using the thing, right? If you're using it to keep track of mom or dad, Lord bless you. There is no prohibition that you have given mom the mark of the beast. When people get the mark of the beast, they know what they're doing. They know what they are doing. The Verichip today can turn into the mark, but they'd have to put another chip in. Do you understand this? Don't get all wigged out. It was Social Security cards, that's the mark of the beast. It's the tattoos, all these ungodly kids. It's the mark of the beast. It's the Verichip. Man, you sound like wackos. The technology is there, and that technology can easily be applied to be the mark of the beast. Satan is going to use a mark, and I believe it will be like the Verichip. My personal opinion is that it will be like that. And if you don't have it, you don't buy or sell. It's getting to be that way anyway. If you don't have the electronic card, we are going to a cashless society. I am resisting up until the end. I'm going to keep writing checks and make them process the checks. Electronic transfer. Earn your money! You bunch of crooks, charging 18% interest to people. Yeah, well, it cost them about 50 cents to process my check. So, ha! Back at you. It doesn't cost them any money to process the electronic stuff. It's all electronic. Cashless society, we're going towards there. So there's a mark. And if you don't have the mark, you don't buy or sell. If you're here, don't take the mark. Lose your head for Jesus. Better yet, just lose your head for Jesus today. You know, it's a great thing. Now, verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. For it is the number of man. His number is 666. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast. Wow. I have read over 666 explanations of what the number 666 means. It is insane. There's obviously no wisdom or no understanding. I have heard that the number is Caesar Nero. I have read that the number is the Pope. I've read the number is Martin Luther. I've read that the number is Hitler and Stalin. I remember hearing that the number belonged to Henry Kissinger. If that name rings a bell, you're old. Look, in Greek, Hebrew, and Latin, letters have numerical values. And so people take names and they assign the numerical value to it and they come up with something. Now, this is what happens. My name is Stephen Patrick Brown. They take Stephen Patrick Brown, they get the numerical value. No, that's not 666. Okay. Let's try this. Let's use Stephen P. Brown. No, close, but still. Let's try Stephen Brown. No. Steve Brown. No. Hey, wait. His name, Stephen, with a V. Let's go to Greek. Stephen. Stephen. Huh? 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 No, wait. Stephen, that's not quite there. Let's go to Stephanos, the root word of Stephen. So they use 666 manipulations of the name until they get the number 666. And that's it. It's the beast. Maybe that's how it is. Let him who's here have some wisdom and understanding during that time and figure it out. But I'm not going to waste my time. It may be something simpler. You know that numbers have values, have meaning. We talked about the number 7 for a long time, have we not? Perfection, completeness. What is 6? It's one less than 7. It's one less than perfection and completeness. It is the number of man. 6. He's 666. He is just a man. He never makes it to 7, man. He falls short of the glory of God. He's just a man. He makes himself out to be God, the Antichrist, but he is always just 6. And you could probably go 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6, 6. Into infinity, he will never be more than what he is. He is just a man. I know that takes a lot of the intrigue away from who this guy is. But look, who are you looking for? Are you looking for the Antichrist? Go program your computer for the Bible codes and look. I just want Jesus, man. This is a revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book is about. Oh, the Antichrist is there. Who makes war against the beast? Well, Jesus does. He comes and he takes this guy and has him thrown into the lake of fire. That's where his future is. He's nothing. God has this thing all under control. And he's allowing it to all shake out. He's allowing man to rebel. He's giving man the choice that man wanted. And that's to rebel against God. But he's also given us the opportunity to serve him. 666, no. There's another number. It's 8. That number is the number of new beginnings. If you take Jesus' name, Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, it always comes out 8, the numeric value. Looking for man. Looking for perfection, 7. If you're looking for perfection, you're looking for completeness, you got to go to 8. Jesus, the number of new beginnings. And if you haven't come to that number, you need to. And you need to say, Jesus, come into my life. Give me that new beginning. Forgive me of my sins. And he will. And all of this stuff, it certainly won't matter to you because you'll have Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come, we thank you. We thank you for sending your Son to save us from the wrath that's to come. We thank you, Jesus, for saving us from sin and from judgment. We thank you, Lord, for dying for us, forgiving us. And we thank you, Lord, for preparing a place for us that when all these things are going to be happening on earth, that, Lord, we'll be with you, worshiping you and focusing on you and not on these things that will come upon those who have rejected you. We pray, Lord, that you would be with us today, that today we'd be looking for you in our lives and every day, Lord, that would be more focused on you than we are on the Antichrist. We pray you'd go with us today, be glorified in our lives. In your name, Jesus, amen.